On Monday last, over 50,000 CAO applicants received an offer from the Central Applications Office, with places in third level institutions. Now, over 30,000 applicants have, by this morning, accepted a place in round one, and then added to previous acceptances from earlier rounds with regard to mature students and others. There are some 36,000 places full at this stage. With me now, our regular contributor on matters to do with career guidance and education and Irish Times columnist, Brian Mooney. Brian, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Good morning, Sean.
What else can you tell us about how this CAO acceptance process is going?
Well, it's going very, very well. Most students, in fact, 99% accept online. They just go on, you know, go into their account and accept. You print out the acceptance and away you go. In fact, colleges, many colleges are now contacting within hours students relating to the registration immediately afterwards because they get notification of the acceptances. Colleges are contacting students about registration, and that's an important, I covered it in my column in the Times this morning. Like in arts degrees where you actually pick subjects, it's important that you follow through quickly because classes fill up. So you may be into your degree, but may not be getting into your subject. Now, I know that some colleges, you pre-select your first two, but your third one could be important to you as well. So, you know, make sure that follow through. Don't sit on it. Go and register straight away.
So that's the primary piece of advice you would have for people who have already accepted.
Yeah.
We were talking to Jackie Fox earlier about accommodation. That's a consideration for a lot of people.
In fact, we've had some callers in the Irish Times help desk, you know, who basically say, I have an offer of a place, but until I find somewhere to live, I can't accept it. And they have until next Monday. And it's a really, really difficult scenario. So, I mean, you know, if there are families out there, maybe elderly people who'd like companionship or whatever, and you covered it in the programme a couple of weeks ago yourself, you know, please contact your local college because it's a win-win for everybody, you know.
Now, another thing that seems to be generating queries is this whole business of random selection. And is it that people might have got, they read in the paper that so many points will get you into an X course.
But and they have those points.
But not the offer.
But they haven't got the offer. Because what happens is if a college has, say, five places left and you have 15 people on those points, every course has a randomly generated number that means nothing other than in that circumstance. So those 15 numbers are put in numerical sequence and the top five numerical numbers get the five places and the other 10 have to wait. If some people don't accept in round one, those places will be released in round two. But there are many cases where people are on the points that point and they just happen. It's you know.
But if you haven't got your first choice at this stage,
yes,
is it possible to call the odds on what your chances are of getting it later on?
Well, say there's 100 places goes out in round one, 10 goes out in round two. It's about 10%. So effectively, you know, and many admissions officers actually try to factor in. It's like selling airline seats. They don't want to actually have to go back in round two. So they factor in a certain non-acceptance level. And it's only when that is goes under that in round one that in round two kicks in. But there are some, I mean, the CAO had on their website yesterday and it'll be up there for weeks, courses that are vacant. A particularly interesting one is NUI in Maynooth have a campus down in Kilkenny and that's full BA. But because it's new, it was only introduced last year, they're not full yet. So, you know, you could get into, say, arts in Maynooth and you transfer back to Maynooth next year for maybe 300 points, you know, which is maybe 30 or 40 more than you will, 50 more than you need to get into the campus in Maynooth this year. So there's a good engineering degrees there. There's, you know, there are literally hundreds of courses that still have places.
And who are those options suitable for? I mean, is it people who, they may have already filled in seven or eight options and they haven't got anything yet?
They haven't got anything yet. Or somebody for some reason who didn't apply at all. The only courses you can enter into the system are those vacant places. You can put them anywhere in your list. But here's the really key message, Sean. If you find a course that you'd like, but you are still hoping that some of your other courses may come down in points, then place the vacant place course under the courses you're still hoping for. And then you'll be offered that now. And then if one of the higher ones comes available, they will then offer you it again. So effectively, don't put it at the top because then you can't be offered any of the ones you're still holding out for.
It's a really, well, I suppose at one level, for people who are like yourself, familiar with the system, maybe very straightforward, but it's mind-boggling.
Oh, it's all completely mind-boggling.
To be careful about. I mean, tax returns seem fairly complex, simple, I should say, but by comparison. Now, the other thing that you wanted to look at was, you know, why people, in your view, shouldn't rule out the private colleges or the fee-paying colleges on the basis of the upfront fees?
Well, they're about 5,000. Tax relief at 20%, 4,000. The registration charge this year, 2,750. Gap, 1,250. So that's the effect. That's the truth. I mean, so you're really, the difference between a private college now and the public system is 1,250.
But there's a catch, isn't there, in regard to how that's treated? If you go to a private college for a year and pay the fee.
If you go to a private college, pay 5,000. If you decide it's not for you, the government regard the fact that you had a tax relief of 20% as the equivalent of you went to a public college. So you're paying fees the second year round.
It's called the government having its cake and eating it.
Exactly.
I think it could be said.
Exactly.
And now, as you talked about the various things that can come up for people if they don't get the course, there are still those vacant places. Mm. What about the question of maybe saying, right, look, you know, I didn't get what I want. I'm not really going to be happy if I don't get it. It's looking fairly remote. Maybe I should repeat.
There's very, very few repeat now, about 1,500 repeat. The big repeat...
In the whole country?
Yes, that's it. Well, what's happened now is that effectively, the people who used to repeat were the people looking for medicine. Now they repeat HPAT, which is another story altogether. So that cohort don't repeat the Leaving Cert anymore, because if they get more than 550 points, they didn't get one extra point
but
for every five.
But that's just for medicine.
That's for medicine. But they were the main people who were repeating. So, effectively, now there's very good repeat colleges around the country, and for students who feel, look, I didn't do the work, what was the VEC system, which is now the Education Training Board system, have really good colleges in Ringsend, Rathmines, Plunkett and Pearson, Dublin, and then, you know, right throughout the country. And then you've got the private colleges, you've the Institute, you've got the Tutorial, you've got the Yates College in Galway, you've got Bruce down in Cork and others. And then you have some very good second level schools that do a repeat year. So that would be something that you should really look at.
And then I think there are other courses that could be seen as a kind of a staging post, maybe particularly in regard to, say, something like nursing.
Oh yeah, but you've got PLC courses. Now, there are post Leaving Cert courses, fantastic post-Leaving Cert courses around the country. The only problem with that is that the number of places that are actually reserved for nursing for PLC is tiny in Ireland. We used to have 1,800 places for nursing, and the HSE cut 300 of those back in 2009 when the cuts were brought in. The only saving, they didn't close any course, so the only saving they made was the money that the student nurses got when they went on placement in hospitals. And for that, they took 300 places out of the system. So therefore, there's only 1,500 places left, and there's only a few dozen for PLCs. But what's actually happened, Sean, is last year there were 1,500 kids from Ireland went to the UK, 500 of them got nursing places. So one third of the entire number. And that was where our students now have to go to the UK for a saving on a placement fee. It's ridiculous.
The other thing, and I think some people have been particularly grateful to you for drawing their attention to it, is the foreign option or going abroad elsewhere in Europe.
Yeah, I was speaking to the Minister of Education the other morning, and she said the number of people who've spoken to her about this now, the going abroad, it's a fantastic opportunity. Effectively, what has happened is that European universities, they don't have students. So some of the best universities in the world, top 100 universities in the world, are now frantically looking to attract students right across Europe. Their degrees are taught through English. UNICAS, www.eunicas, it's a guy called Guy Flouch down in Ennis, and effectively he has, you know, put together every one of those 1,000 courses, and on his website you will find, and you can still today get degree courses of the highest quality over the next week or two in European universities that, you know, and they will be very happy, because if you speak English as a native language, they really want you on the course. You also have for veterinary and medicine in Budapest, and there are still some places. I spoke to Dr. Tim O'Leary, who is the veterinary surgeon managing that down in Skull last night, and he said if anybody's interested in that, 028 28 197, and he'll talk to you about any places that you know.
You better give us that number again. It's 028 28 197.
Correct. It's a Cork number.
What about fees though for those courses?
Now, in the European universities, mainly in Western Europe, effectively in Scandinavia there are no fees. In Holland it's 1,900 euros. In Germany it can be 300 to 500 euros. I say Denmark, Sweden, nothing. If you're talking about the you know, the Budapest, etc., you're talking about 10,000 for medicine or veterinary.
But then you would presumably have to pay your accommodation and other living expenses.
And it's not cheap. It's certainly not cheap. The Eastern European ones that have been there for a long time are expensive. But the Western European ones in the public universities taught through English.
But what, I mean, how do they work the point system? In other words,
they don't have the kids.
A point system.
They just matriculation, 2 C's and 4 D's. That's it. That's our entry system, Sean. In Ireland, that is our entry system. Our problem is we do not have enough places for the people who qualify. That's where the point system came in. They have enough places, and therefore, that's what they're doing.
Now, there's a new report out today about how, just the whole question of access to education, and what are the highlights of that and the most important findings
okay,
for you?
Okay, in working class communities, effectively, there are, you know, very, very low participation rates. One issue which I raise in my own column of the Times today, foreign nationals. 560 points to leave and search are going nowhere, because effectively, if you don't have citizenship yet, you could pay 10 grand to go to college. So there are vast swathes of working class communities that have a lot of foreign nationals in it where the kids have to stop at the leaving cert because they cannot be a financial burden on the state. That's the state's attitude. In communities where effectively, you know, we have in working class communities, another issue is the abolition of the guidance counsellors 2 years ago. The report from the SRI last week said in middle class communities, mammy and the guidance counsellor is a key to going to college, but mammy is hugely influential. In working class communities, it's the guidance counsellor. The loss of the guidance counsellor in working class communities. And the third factor, I just want to talk about the fantastic work being done by the likes of Dr. Josephine Bleach down in National College of Ireland, where effectively you take the really small babies and you put a support system into those communities where you get a network of local people who go in and help the mammies with literacy and numeracy when the children are really small. And that program has now seen literacy and numeracy levels at 10 and 11 years of age of those children have come through that program, which are as high as the private schools in Dublin. So effectively intervene early, put back in guidance and deal with the immigrant community where you've got some really talented young people who can't go beyond the leaving cert.
Brian, we'll leave it there. Brian Mooney, career guidance expert and columnist with the Irish Times. Thank you very much indeed.